Here's what's coming up on today's show.
And the biggest thing that I came away with is probably the predictability of income. So, I mean, if you can join a team, take a lower split, but have more transactions closed in the year, we've taken away a layer of that variability of income for the year. And I think that has more value to some folks than it does for others.
As a real estate agent, you may find it difficult handling the financial side of your professional and personal life. We're here to help. This is Agent Money, how top producers master their business and personal finances with certified financial planner Jordan Kernut and fractional CFO Michael Kilner.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Agent Money podcast. My name is Michael Kilner, and as usual, joined by my amazing co-host Jordan Kernut. Jordan, great to see you again.
Good to see you, Michael. We made it to episode 11.
This is episode 11. Wow.
It is. We're like full blown into the double digits. It's crazy.
Does this mean we're podcasters now?
Yeah, I think we're legitimate podcasters at this point.
Wow. So when does the money start rolling in?
Yeah, I know. Have you got it? Have you?
How does this work? They,
like Spotify or like someone's got to start paying us, right?
We need to run some ads.
Yeah.
Express home buyers, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Something real estate adjacent. Maybe we'll get some brokerages to advertise. So this is going to be our solo pod today. We don't have a guest, mostly because I've been throwing grenades on LinkedIn, and we thought there were some juicy nuggets to kind of pull out of that controversy.
Yeah. You've been, some hot takes, you know, spicy jalapeno emojis coming out. It's gotten a little wild. So let's address it on the podcast.
Yeah. So I wrote on LinkedIn last week. I said hot take. So I fair warning to everybody. I said it. I said solo agents who have seen their sales drop off while their expenses have stayed the same, it might be time to join a team. And then I said, teams are hungry for good agents, and there are real cost efficiencies when joining a team. It's not 2022 anymore. Adapt or die. That last part was a little strong, I have to admit.
No, it's great. And I think there's such a spectrum. I mean, like you get people on 100% all in on teams. And that's how they've come up. Like they've spent their whole career there, they've thrived and they're crushing it. And then like you get that other end of the spectrum where you've got the solo agent that would say, oh, I would never go to a team. I see no value there. I DIY it. Like this is me, my business is me. And there's probably some folks, you know, somewhere in the middle. So to me, you know, what I'm excited to talk about today is like, what truly are those differences? It's not a one size fits all discussion. I don't believe personally.
Yeah.
But you know, what fits, for one person and then what might make sense for another.
Yeah. And I think what I was trying to convey in the post was that this is a unique moment in time.
Yes.
Where this could make sense. This is not a, hey, for all times and forever, teams are the only way to go. And it actually came out of several conversations that I had just last week with solo agents who are clients of mine who have historically been incredibly productive, right? These are folks who you see on the leaderboard in their offices. The solo agent of the month, you know, crushing it in terms of units. But, and there are actually two very specific examples that I'm thinking of, but both of these agents, when I was talking with them last week, they both expressed sort of this frustration with the marketplace, you know, slow growth, not really seeing any efficiencies in their business. And they had all of these costs, right? Because these are legitimate agents who have been in the game for a long time, right? So they have real costs. They have advertising costs. They have virtual assistant or transaction coordinator costs. They've got office space. They have, you could go through it, right? They have payroll for themselves. And, you know, one of them has an assistant. So these are solo agents, you might say, verging on small team territory. I had very frank discussions with both of them, basically saying, okay, what is the way out of this, right? How do we get from where you are kind of stuck right now with a slow market and your operating expenses, you can't really change much around because you still need them to work. You know, how do we fix that?
Mm-hmm.
And we riffed on a few ideas, kind of going like, okay, we could cut costs here. We could do this. We could do X, Y, and Z. And to one of them, I said, oh, what about a team? And she was like, wait, whoa, what do you mean a team? Like I've been a solo agent for a long time. How does that benefit me? And so I said, I don't know if this is the path that you need to take, but here's my take on it. And the real take is that what it boils down to is you are moving high fixed operating costs, mm-hmm. right? Your monthly costs that are recurring, you're moving them from sort of the something you cannot get out of to a variable cost that only gets incurred when you close a deal. You are shifting your fixed costs into variable costs, which usually is a bad idea, right? Usually you do not want to be saddled with costs that are percentage of your margin every time you make a sale, right? Mm-hmm. So is it, you know, think about a product, right? Yep. Like a digitized product, right? So if I'm selling a course online, say, it costs me no money to sell as many copies of that course, you know, as I want to. So if I sell 100 copies of the course, right, it's a digital asset. It has no variable cost associated with it. But if I sell 100 couches direct to consumer, right, every single time I sell a couch, I have the cost of the couch, right? The manufacturing costs or whoever I bought it from to begin with. So you could see how, okay, one of those things is better than the other. You don't want to be saddled with high fixed variable costs. So when you go out to a team and you have a split, you suddenly have this high variable cost.
Yep.
And so most people react immediately. This is the reaction of some people with the LinkedIn post was, why would you ever move from solo agent where you keep 100% of everything, less your split with the broker, to going to team now where you have maybe a 50% split?
Yep.
You know, or 60% split on deals.
Yep. And I think, I mean, you hit it at the beginning of this conversation, but mentally, I just want to scroll up for a second in the income statement of someone's business. And like this, a lot of this is driven by the revenue and fixed versus variable costs, which we were just talking about. But the driver of making that decision, like what is better, fixed or variable costs, is like almost exclusively from a numbers standpoint, like driven by the revenue. And circling back around that concept of like the environment has changed or has shifted at a minimum. I was at a conference a month or two ago, and this reminded me of this, but there was a speaker from Hatch coaching, and he put it this way. You know, the last couple of years we were all fishing and the fish were jumping into the boat. I mean, we didn't have to do anything and we had deals flowing in. Today, they're not jumping in the boat. If you want to catch fish, you better know how to cast. You better have the correct bait. You better have the correct technique. And so I think we've seen that. Certainly, Michael, as you're going over your income statements, P&Ls with your clients, revenue for a lot of folks isn't on the same pace as it has been for those last few years. And if you haven't made a change, fixed costs have stayed the same. So that margin isn't quite there. So I think a lot of this decision, and you mentioned it earlier, is driven by the revenue. You know, the more revenue we have, the more reasonable it is to cover those fixed costs. As that revenue comes back, now we start to look at that math and like, does that variable cost of a higher split by being on a team, like, does that now start to make sense?
Yeah. Does it get you to a higher net?
Mm-hmm.
And net is what matters.
Yeah.
It's not about your split. It's not about your GCI. It's about how do you get to a higher net or maintain a net from previous years, right? Maintain the same level of your net income. And I think you restated it perfectly, actually probably more succinctly than I did. There's a real knee-jerk reaction, right? There's a real like, hey, that's just not a possibility. But I say in this market, everything is a possibility. And this market is not, we are in June of 2023. So we're Q2 and everyone's activity is picked up. It's prime selling season in most places. What does Q3 look like? What does Q4 look like? Mm-hmm. What does next year look like? I think there's real blood in the streets. And that sounds very crude, but it's true. So I think anything that goes against the trends of the last few years, right? Anything that goes against those trends is going to come back into vogue. So you saw a real trend towards fragmentation, new brokerage models, right? New low cost options, many agents eschewing the idea of being on a team, had a little bit of a brain hiccup there, and just going solo because, like you said, the fish were jumping in the boat. You could, it was a great time to be a solo operator. Mm-hmm. So the reverse of that trend though, right? What's the reverse of the fragmentation? It's going to be reconsolidation, right? People are going to be looking for, where do I have the support, the coaching, the structure, maybe the leads that allow me to be successful in this new environment? Because it's going to take a lot more. It's going to take a lot more from you to have real success. And so you can do that on your own. You can do that with others, right? You can do that with support and structure. And I'd say, what it kind of boils down to is, would you rather pay out 50% of 10 deals, 12 deals that being on a team enables you to do, right? Or would you rather have, 100% of 3 or 4 deals,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Or 2 deals or no deals, right? Yeah. And that's, I think people have to look at that and be very honest with themselves. Yep. There's plenty of solo agents who are going to get through this fine, totally fine, because they're legit players, right? But there are many solo agents who should look at their strengths, their weaknesses, and their operating expenses and say, okay, is it time for sort of a reboot of how I look at my business and what kind of team would allow me to, to hit my goals?
And this is, first and foremost, a podcast about finances, for real estate agents and real estate teams. But you alluded to it, and I think we'd be remiss not to mention that there are differences in between being a solo and being on a team beyond the finances, right?
Right.
So like what is, and there's pros and cons to both.
Right.
But what are those things that are different where if you're a solo agent, you get to make all the decisions. At the same time, the level of support probably isn't in that same spot. I mean, everything's on you. There's no one else to carry that load. Or you're paying for it out of pocket. Do you play nice in the sandbox with others? I mean, if you're on a team, you're not, on an island by yourself doing it. Everything runs through you. You've got to be able to play your role, and have that balance of like, yes, this is me and my career, but also like, I'm not the only one in this. I just think it's good to realize and recognize that yes, like finances play a big role in this, and that's our focus. But there's other aspects of this that like may or may not make sense. Beyond the bottom line,
right? I think we had Perry on a couple of episodes ago.
Yep,
and he was talking about the environment within his brokerage. So Perry's not on a team.
Yep. Right?
But his brokerage sounded like a place of incredible accountability,
absolutely,
structure, camaraderie, sharing, right? And so while he wasn't on a team, he very much identified his team as that brokerage, right? That small, for sure, his office.
Yep.
So I think there are a lot of agents who might be listening to this who say, I have a great brokerage and that's what I need. And if that's what you have, awesome. Right. Yep. Doesn't necessarily help you with if you have high operating costs because you're a solopreneur.
Yep.
Right. You have those fixed costs, but it definitely gives you the other piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. And you've led my thought process, as we looked at this spectrum, with team way on one side, solo agent at the other, like there's tons of different spots that you can be in between. Yep. And like what brokerage you're at, you know, is another one of those options. Like, are you a solo agent at a brokerage that provides a ton of those things and might have a little bit lower split? Or are you in a scenario where you're at, you know, a completely virtual brokerage? And we've seen more of that come out over the last couple of years, like Real, EXP, some of those options to where much, you know, you cap quick, higher splits, but you're a little bit more on an island, you know? So, I mean, from being a solo, there's different versions even of being a solo.
I think the other thing to think about with all of this is to look at it from the team or the brokerage perspective. And I'll look at the team perspective. Teams are also suffering through the down market, right? They have high fixed operating costs, usually lots of salaries, you know, usually lead generation contracts, office space for sure. They are hungry for good agents. And when teams are hungry for good agents, because they need to increase revenue, right? And one way to increase revenue is just agent count, right? Have more productive agents who can have these cost efficiencies, right? This, we have this cost center, but if we can spread it out over more productive agents, right, then everyone can make more money. That's the idea. So the teams are hungry for good agents. So I actually think solo agents who are bringing a book of business and a track record of success, you have a really good hand at the negotiating table.
Sure.
Right. And I don't think that's anything to discount, right? Like, I think there would be there's a lot of teams who would be happy to have like a solid producing agent who knows how they work, knows why they're working, right? They would love to have you on their team. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be, you know, hey, brand new person to the industry splits. It's going to be a split, right? That respects your autonomy, right? And your ability to bring in deals. So don't discount that, right? Like, use it as a leverage point. Understand the hand that you are playing with.
Yeah. Yeah. You've built that career capital. It's a totally different conversation from a completely.
Yeah.
Green agent, you know, straight out of college or, you know, whatever that scenario is.
Right.
It's a great point.
And I think there are teams that are going to be a cultural fit for you, right? They you're going to know who they are too. They might be in your office already, but there's going to be teams who are a good cultural fit. And maybe you don't identify with most teams, but there might be a team where you're like, those people I would love to work with, right? I'd love to work with them on a daily basis. And so much of our branding, right? We think our brand means everything to the agent or everything to the consumer, I should say. When it's us, like, we mean a lot to the consumer as agents, right? Like, the relationship means a tremendous amount. So coupling your individual brand with a team brand, I don't think takes anything away from you, right? I think, honestly, I feel like it can only help because you get that additional kind of brand awareness. Like, oh yes, I've heard about you guys. You do a lot of deals in our community, right? Our neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I think there can be some sort of, you know, ick factor there. Like, I've really worked hard to build this solo brand. I don't want to give that up. Well,
yeah.
No, I think you're not going to give up any of your relationships, right? You're going to keep those relationships. You're just attaching your brand to a larger brand.
Yeah, it can be built correctly. The transition can happen. There's probably a right way and a wrong way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to be careful about your messaging.
Yeah.
Right. But you can couch it as a really big win. And I think it's got to be a big win too. It doesn't have to just be couched that way. But, you know, financially, it's got to, the numbers have to work out for you. And then if you're excited about it, you can convey that excitement to your database.
You know, the other thing I want to pull back around in this conversation is how does this look from a personal finance standpoint? So, you know, we've talked about the differences on the business side. Michael and I really took a look and thought about doing this podcast. One of the things I wanted to reflect on a little bit is, what does this look like personally for agents? And the biggest thing that I came away with is probably the predictability of income. So, I mean, if you can join a team, take a lower split, but have a higher more transactions closed in the year, we've taken away a layer of that variability of income for the year. And I think that has more value to some folks than it does for others. probably the biggest difference that I've seen is, you know, where your income stands in your family unit. So if you're a single person, you know, it's the only, income that's providing for you, there might be some real value in being able to stabilize it might be less, but if it's more consistent, you can count on it. There could be some good value there. Mm-hmm. Conversely, if you're in a two income household, you might be willing to take a little bit more of that risk in exchange for the higher net at the end of the year, potentially. And yeah. we've talked about, it doesn't have to be that way on a team, but the higher potential of being a solo, but your income is much more variable. So I think on the personal finance side too, it's not a slam dunk, one way or the other. It really just that decision-making process really just depends on your personal situation. Do you have more value to predictability, or do you have more value on taking that risk and the potential to have that higher net at the end of the year?
Yeah. No, I think everything we're talking about is just to say, don't look at your business through just the myopic lens of my split. Look at it as a holistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing. Right. It's definitely part of the equation. We're not discounting it. It's not as if you just leave that out of your calculations. Right. Yep. But if that's all you're focused on, you might miss a really great opportunity. And also I think, look, if you just go back to kind of like you were talking about personality, like personal preference there.
Yep.
I think also understand, like, if you're a solo agent and you've been burned out on a lot of the kind of all of the things that are required of an entrepreneur, right? All of kind of the management and everything, and always having to be the one who deals with everything, not just sales, but every other piece of operating your business. A team can also give you tremendous focus, right? Yeah. They can take so much of that off of your plate and allow you just to focus on sales, right?
Yep.
Allow you just to focus on serving your clients. It's not an advertisement for these folks at all, but a really interesting model is the place model. I don't know if you're familiar with it, Jordan.
No, walk us through it.
Place is a kind of a brainchild of Ben Kinney, who's a big name, within the real estate space. And I don't want to go through all of the details, but essentially, right, they are allowing teams and solo agents, but like highly productive teams usually, to offload most of the headache of kind of running their back office, right? And that includes things like payroll and advertising and rent and whatever, all the other stuff. Kind of take that off for a pretty chunky split.
Yep.
But it allows the rainmakers, right, the leader of the team, to really focus on their individual production. So it is an interesting model because there's sort of this idea is like, well, one day, all I want to do is get out of production, right? I don't want to be in production. And they're saying, actually, what we want to give you is the ability to really just focus on production, right? And we're going to help you recruit, and we're going to help you hire, and we're going to help you with your payroll, and we're going to help you with your accounting, and all those things. Like, we'll take those off your plate. So they're really like, what they're really offering is like focus. Right. Yeah. They're offering some other things, right? Like the ability to build a bigger team faster through them. I think that's certainly part of it. But in the end of the day, like, you're just saying, like, look, we have the efficiency to run your back office and we'll let you focus on production. So a good team, I think, allows an agent to do that, focus on production.
Yep. And this concept of like highest and best use of your time. Right. It's a concept that's not unique to the real estate space. And then the reason I bring that up is that I think it's a proven piece of small business. I mean, you look at dental practices, you look at MySpace, the financial services industry, that a version of that model exists in all of these different industries. Mm-hmm. And again, it's when is that the right fit? And is that a right fit for you? Maybe not. But I think one of the biggest things to pull out of today's conversation is, as the market shifts, are you at least thinking about these things?
Right.
You know, do we have our blinders on? And, you know, this is the way I've always done it. And this is going to be continue to be the best way forever. Or do I at least want to consider, are there other options that may or may not make sense?
I love that. Right. Do not operate just because that's how you've always operated. Get creative, you know, at least a little bit, and look to see what other options are out there. We'll
always be learning. I love it. All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. Michael, good to talk with you. We'll see you soon.
Good to see you, Jordan. Bye.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.